Welcome to the Trisexuals, a podcast about spreading your legs and opening your mind. Please be advised that you must be over 18 years of age to ride. Remember that the Trisexuals cover adult themes and concepts and oftentimes use salty language. For your safety and the safety of others, please keep your hands in your pants at all times. Enjoy the ride.
I think we all have to raise our penises and uteruses to you.
What?
Well, on that note,
have a sex toy, we'll try it. Have a fetish, we'll try it. We masturbate and copulate to recreate and educate. We are the Trisexuals.
Hello and welcome. I'm Max Chameleon.
I'm Lily Chameleon.
And I'm Kit.
Well, Sexplorers, we've had just the craziest couple of weeks here. We absolutely miss talking to you. You mean so much to us. But I'm sorry to say that it's time again now for another quickie.
But quickies can be fun and exciting.
Quickies are definitely fun, and, you know, they're an important part of a balanced sexual diet.
Like a nooner?
Well, like a nooner, if you can work them in, right? I mean, we all want a nooner now and then. But anyway, in the interest of keeping things pretty quick, I think it's time maybe we just jump into what's playing. So does anyone want to go first?
I'll go first because I am really excited. I've been on the hunt for a while to find a knotted toy where I can reach the knot, because most toys from the distance from the tip to the knot is really, really too long for me. And if you've been listening for a while, you know, I like the nice, short, something smaller. And I finally found one that is a perfect fit, and I am stoked. So this is the Uni, or Uni, I'm not sure which, from Ellipse Art, and it's an inflatable. So this is awesome.
Love the inflatables.
Yeah,
exactly. Well, I was pretty inspired because Max has been working on, you know, increasing the size of his pansy pooper, and I've got a pretty pansy pooper here, too. So this is going to serve a dual purpose for me because I'm going to be able to use that inflation part to really try and work up to the size. So this toy is so well made, and it's so beautiful. Like, I couldn't be more pleased, and so I'm just like, I want to shout from the rooftops. It's just finally to find a good size.
Yeah, and I mean, that definitely seems to be like the right size that you want for a female bodied individual, right?
I feel like I could finally take a knot in something now.
Yeah. Because Lily's not been able to actually get in the fetish zone, Kadar, I think it's called. She's not been able to get that into her, so this could actually work out really well. So we might have to check them out. How much did this cost?
Oh, I don't remember off the top of my head. They're,
we can put in the show notes.
They're not super cheap. They are a little bit pricey, but they are just really well made, and you know, it's worth paying the extra for. I mean, silicone toys are built to last a lifetime. So you're better off to just save up the money and buck up and pay what you need to for them.
And we boiled a bunch of them earlier today, and they didn't hardly scream at all. So they're really tough. They can take
it. That's right, because, like, I can take the whole knot in. The closest, like, I've been able to find are a lot of knotted toys where you can get, like, maybe part of the knot.
Yeah.
This, like, you can take the entire thing so you can enjoy the full expansion. And that has been finally my wish come true there.
Right.
All right, you want to go next, Lily? What do you got for us?
I will go next. I actually had the Twintel Creations Small Alto, which is the chameleon deck.
Ah, yes. So it is actually my dick.
And what I really love about this is the ridges are just like, it's almost like the Transformer one.
Oh, the mechanical animal.
Because I love the ridges, and we all know what the ridges makes me squirt. So I have been really enjoying this toy, both in front and back. With anything with these ridges makes me squirt, which I have been really enjoying.
That's fun for the whole family.
As long as they're 18 and over.
Yeah, well, obviously.
So yeah, that's really what's been going on with me. Max, what have you been playing with?
Well, actually, I went back to it. Oh, no. Here it comes. Oh, God. You'd think that, like, getting tongued sounds like something would actually be enjoyable, but in this case, it's not. So, this is actually a toy that we got a while back. This is a Primal Hardware. Now, if you remember Primal Hardware, we talk about them a lot on the show. They're the guys that do the ovipositor toy that we love, and that was our first episode. They had also done, I mean, gosh, how long is this?
It's 3 feet.
Okay, you remembered.
So
okay.
We can basically sit here and swing and hit it at the same time.
Yeah, exactly.
And I'm going to butcher the pronunciation and also the name of this toy, which is the Tungtical.
I think Tungtical, tentacle
mixed tongue. With the tongue.
Yeah.
And it's a nice long toy. It's not that thick. I mean, what would you say? That's like two inches or whatever thick at the most. And it's like the shape of a tongue, but really extra long. Now, I was afraid of this toy for a long while, just based on the length. It's not something I messed around with too much, aside from using it in kind of like a massage sort of context, which we can talk about in a bit. But I did actually, the other day, manage to get in a good, like, 14 inches of this guy, which is, for a big deal.
That's a big deal.
And yes, my sex explorers, he did get out the measuring tape and measured how long he got in.
Immediately. I came running out of the apartment door, you know, out into the public. I was like, Eureka! 14 inches in my ass. It's a very strange life we lead here. But yeah, one thing that we did experiment with, actually, one thing that all the sexplore or the trisexuals had experimented with at one point is kind of like a little massage session with
With coconut oil and the tentacle, you get amazing massage with.
Yeah, so it was just like, it's got all these nice little ridges and bumps, and it was really neat.
And it's actually got like all of the, like the texture of a tongue on the top. It's just like all of the little taste buds you can feel all the way. So you've got like the smoother side and then
taste
you've got
the
like,
rainbow.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Which is amazing. Like, and this is so great because I love to take this toy. Like I have one of these too. And in the tub, if you get like massage oil all over and then you use it, like you can have, it's the best for massage because you can reach your feet, like you can, you know, sort of grab and seesaw with your feet. And it's fantastic.
Plus,
it's a
great conversation piece. I mean, like the ovipositor, you can't have this sitting out somewhere and people what the hell is going on.
Like, we brought this to one of the last table things that we did at one of the conventions, and you just have it out on the table and people are like, what the hell is that?
I love telling people about that. So for the main portion of today's episode, we are going to cut to Kit talking a little bit about her story and how she got started as a sex toy reviewer and Trisexuals co-host.
So I'm really excited to share how I started this blog because I haven't really shared it publicly before, but I've been talking to Mr. Kit. And I really feel like it's time to be open about the full situation of my story. So really understand, let me give you a little bit of background. I think like most people, I didn't really grow up with a super healthy concept of sexuality. I actually grew up in a really small, rural, uber religious community. And along the way, I got the idea that masturbation was so wrong that I stopped touching myself when I was 12 and kind of just really first exploring. And I was so ashamed and afraid of it. I didn't even touch myself again until I was 19 and in college. And I was really lucky enough when I went to college to have my own room and had a computer in my room, which was just so awesome because I found the Scarlatine website, which actually helped me overcome a lot of shame and stuff. I actually learned a lot. And so I finally had my first orgasm, and it was so incredible that I made up my mind, I've got to experiment. I want to go, you know, just try out some more things. This is awesome. And of course, I went and got involved with my boss, who was 10 years older than me and kind of emotionally abusive. And of course, that went well. And so from there, I tried some one-night stands and I had a couple of relationships that didn't really go anywhere. And why that's really so important is that it made me really resolute in the idea that I wasn't going to live that way and that there's something better. I just knew there had to be something better. But I drew the conclusion that if I could only find a life partner, like a real romantic relationship, it would solve all of my sex problems. And so, enter Mr. Kit. So, right from our first date, we had just the best conversations. Like, we could talk for hours about anything. And we had, you know, we really saw the world in such the same way. And we had a real need for self-growth. Like, when we were first dating, Mr. Kit, he loves puzzles. And he would set up a puzzle, and I would read out loud. And we read probably 20 self-help books together. I'd read and we'd discuss and read and discuss, and it just was so fun and so enriching, and it really stayed that way. And so we'd had sex on the first date. It just felt right. We didn't really plan it that way. And for about the first, I'd say 6 weeks or so, everything seemed really normal and smooth. But after about that 6 weeks, even though our emotional connection was growing and intellectually we had our connection was growing, our sexual connection just slowed down until we were having sex about once every year or two. And it's kind of difficult to really explain all the nuances of why. In fact, I'm still not entirely sure. I think, you know, it's hard to know from the perspective of what Mr. Kit feels and why all of this went down for us. But I went on a mission. I went on a massive hunt for information that might be anything that would help me spark Mr. Kit's interest again. So, because I was feeling kind of pretty broken, pretty ashamed, because, you know, I was caught up in the idea that, you know, men are always ready for sex, and what did it mean for our relationship that Mr. Kit didn't want to have sex with me, and what was wrong with me? I mean, if men are supposed to want sex all the time and be so easy to get into bed, and I couldn't entice him, then I must have something very, very wrong and very undesirable about me. And Mr. Kit felt really badly about all of this, too. Like, he really loved me, and he wanted to see me be happy, and he still had plenty of sex drive. He would play on his own all the time, and that was really never a problem. So he tried reading some books with me, and he even tried for a while to stop masturbating because he thought that might nudge him back into wanting sex with me. And that was such a bad idea, because all that did was make him like extremely grumpy, and I was actually really glad when he let that idea go. So anyway, he kept trying, and I kept trying through the years, and thinking, you know, maybe the next idea, that'll be the thing that I need. Maybe that'll be the solution. I started to really agonize over this, and I kept feeling bad about myself, and I was just really focused on the problem. And eventually it became such an issue for us that we really couldn't even talk about sex without having an argument, you know. And about 5 or 6 years in, we'd kind of, you know, hit a rough patch like everyone does. And so Mr. Kit went to his friend's wedding, and he met a girl there that he wanted to have sex with. And of course, I was home, I didn't go. And he kind of talked himself into the idea that, you know, he wanted to break up with me. And like, actually more than that, like he decided that he had broken up with me. He just hadn't told me yet. And this was him starting his life as a single guy. So he really tried to justify in his mind how this was okay and he wasn't cheating, because he's not a bad guy. You know, he didn't want to feel like I'm a terrible person, and he isn't. So when he came home from that trip, he sat down and he told me, you know, he wanted to break up with me. And we started to talk, and immediately he realized he didn't want to actually break up with me. Like, neither of us wanted to break up. We had so many good things. We actually ended up talking together about all the good things that we had and why we were happy together and why neither of us wanted to break up. And so we had a really great conversation out of that. And then he realized, well, you know, the right thing to do is to tell me that he'd had sex at the wedding. And he was terrified that I'd leave him if he told me. But he respected me, and he really thought I deserved the truth. And I was devastated. In fact, I nearly did break up with him. All I could think about were the days, you know, year in and year out, when I tried to get him to have sex with me, and all the things I did and how hard it was. And this girl, he didn't even know, was able to do that in just a few hours. And that's what I couldn't accomplish in years. And then I really believed I was broken and undesirable. And I'd always been a little prone to jealousy. And this flared the jealousy up so bad, it was unbearable. I mean, Mr. Kit couldn't even go to the grocery store and look at somebody, because I was just, you know, I was so agonized wondering, oh, what does she have that I don't, you know, and I would just relive this whole thing. It took me nearly 2 years of kind of steady work trying to get my own head on straight before this didn't really feel so open and raw. It was a really rough time for me. And I did. I thought about leaving so many times. But every time I'd think about that, you know, we'd have a good walk and a conversation, or he'd make me laugh, or we'd do something fun. And I just, it would always remind me, Ryan, how much I love him and how much I knew I'd be losing if I left. And so I stayed, and I just tried to figure out, how do I feel happy? How do I cope with this? How have other people coped with this kind of thing? And it just, this was so different than what I'd imagined all those years ago, when I thought a relationship will, you know, solve all of my sex problems. So finally, I reached a point where I accepted I was probably never going to get him to change. He was likely to, you know, we were likely to be in this sexless situation for the rest of my life, and may very well go from once a year or two down to decades, or maybe even never. And so I turned my attention into myself, and I thought, how can I at least have a good sexual situation with myself? So I started reading as many sex books as I could get my hands on. And I realized I barely knew anything about my own body. I bought some sex toys. I started to explore the different kinds of sensations they could give me. And I learned how to female ejaculate. And I really started to have fun. And I discovered the world of sex bloggers. And I was so inspired just by how easy it was for them to talk about sex, and how open with it they were. And I got this really burning desire to join that community and to go and be around people who were more educated about sex than I was, who were more comfortable, definitely. And so I decided I was going to create a sex blog. And Mr. Kit was kind of surprised when I brought this to him, but he was also really supportive, and he encouraged me to do what would make me feel really happy. And so I got my blog going, and of course I discovered, you know, all the wild, wacky fantasy toys and all the shapes and textures, and I just got really hooked. And so then a really important thing happened for me out of this, actually. I started making friends in the community, and I started meeting people who were interested in playing with me, and which completely turned all of these fears I had that I was undesirable and everything right on their head. And I got the opportunity to try my first threesome, and I was ecstatic. I went to Mr. Kit, and I didn't ask him. I told him, I said, I'm going to go meet these friends, and we're probably going to have sex. It's going to be a threesome. And I remember the look on his face, his jaw like nearly fell off. And he said, you know, that's great, actually. He said, I've actually been trying to think for a while of how to talk to you about this, because I'm interested in an open relationship and I didn't know how to bring it up and I didn't want to hurt you. And so we had a long, really good conversation from this. And we decided that day to open our relationship up completely. The only rule we had was you can do whatever you want, just be safe and use your good judgment. And now I still had jealousy problems kind of nagging at me. Anytime I thought of Mr. Kit with somebody else, it would flare, but he didn't have anyone else at the time. And I really wanted to go play. And so it helped me not focus on that too much. And our relationship really kind of blossomed. I actually loved him all the more for this freedom. And he felt the same way. It was such a relief for us both. And we started being able to talk about sex and not have fights anymore. And that in and of itself was amazing. And so after some time of this, something really pivotal happened that changed the way I viewed sex and relationships and jealousy and things forever. So I had always just assumed I was monogamous. I didn't even question it. I was jealous. I had no interest in sharing or being anything other than monogamous. Well, I fell in love with someone who was not Mr. Kit. And I still felt every bit as much in love with Mr. Kit as before. In fact, probably even more, because he knew all about it. He supported it. He gave me hundreds of hours of relationship advice and really tried to help. And it was amazing, because this put me in a real paradox, because I had this amazing, fun, totally different kind of experience with this other person. And then I had this still really connected, deep, fun, all of this talking and conversation and really good connection with Mr. Kit too. And this brought me to what I kind of like to think of as my Grinch experience, because my heart grew 3 sizes that day. Because I realized that I could love Mr. Kit and I could love someone other than Mr. Kit, and it just didn't change how I felt about Mr. Kit in the least or diminish that in any way. And I realized if I could feel that way, Mr. Kit could too. And he could love me just as much as ever and as deeply and have all of those good feelings. And he could still want to have sex with other people, but it didn't diminish any of the good things in our connection. And we could stay together happily, and I could still have my sexual needs met. And if we could feel this way, so could the person other than Mr. Kit. And they could love me and their partner both without making either one any less. And I could see that it was possible for me to have interactions with other people and not be a homewrecker. That I could only add love to these people's lives without subtracting anything. And once I knew that, and I felt it. I didn't just know it in my head. I felt it viscerally and in my heart. I couldn't unknow what I know. And it made my jealousy obsolete, because there was nothing to be jealous of. And that thought, that knowing, that set me free. And this is why I felt like I wanted to open up and just be real and share my full story, because maybe someone else out there is struggling with jealousy, or maybe they have a sexless situation with their partner. And I hope there's some value here in hearing this for them. And I want them to know that there are always options, no matter how unconventional your situation may seem. There's still there's a good, bright future available to you. So that's my story.
Well, Kit, thank you so much for sharing that story. It's, you know, we've known about some of your story. We didn't know about all the details. It was really incredible to hear, like, you know, how you got started and all this.
And took a lot of courage.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
And I think that there's probably a lot of people that have had at least parts of the same situation or maybe the exact same situation. And, you know, hopefully, you know, this can be a good thing to show them, like, hey, you know, it doesn't have to be a negative thing. You know, so long as you are okay with, you know, going against some of those societal norms, you can find something really great and powerful. One thing that that struck me is you were talking about masturbation. I also, when I was younger, tried to give up masturbation, and it wasn't a religious reason or anything like that, but it felt like it must be wrong, right? Like, it felt like, oh, this is bringing me joy or whatever. And I didn't even fully understand the sexual implications of it at the time. But many times I tried to just absolutely give up masturbation and just not do it at all. Of course, it didn't last very long because when you're a young male, you know, something as simple as accidentally bumping up against a wall will suddenly send you into a crazy lust rage. I, you know, in some ways I miss that, in some ways I really don't miss that, because it was just really unpredictable time. Now, Lily, you said that you had gone through something similar, right?
Yeah, I went through something similar because my family, well, my extended family, were very, very, very religious. So, like, my grandmother was head of a church, so I had the whole Catholic guilt thing going on, to where if you felt pleasure or you felt happiness, you shouldn't. You should feel guilty. It's wrong. And that's something I still struggle with today.
I'm really glad to hear more about Mr. Kit, too. Mr. Kit is just an amazing guy. For those that don't know, he's referenced in the show notes, but Mr. Kit is actually the one that's responsible for awesome intro theme, which is, I think, the best part of the podcast. We could pretty much forget about all the other content we do. It just release that jingle and it'll be a much better podcast than we have right now. Really talented guy. We love Mr. Kit. And so glad that you guys were able to, you know, work through, which is, you know, that would ordinarily be a relationship ender. And you guys mm-hmm. found a path that worked and made you happy and was more healthy overall.
I feel like sort of the two takeaways that all of my collective experience had for me, like, I got a lot of relief from two things that caused me problems. One was so much, you know, feeling of jealousy and insecurity. And the interesting thing is all of these collective things kind of conspired to give me an experience that really, it rendered the thoughts I was using as a way to feel jealousy kind of obsolete. So it's not that jealousy is not a thing that can happen again, but it's that all the old things I used to think and feel and you know, that used to spur that, they don't resonate anymore. They don't make sense anymore. They're obsolete. And that's been a relief. And the other relief is the feeling that I have now, because of the situation we have, where we have given each other so much freedom, and it's still like our relationship feels more stable and secure than it ever has. This could have been a relationship ending thing, like you said, but it wasn't. So the feeling of, you know, can I be cheated on? That's not possible anymore. When you give your partner freedom and you find a way to feel it and mean it, and that's the hard part. You can't just say, oh, I'm gonna give you this, and then, you know, just the minute they make any move toward acting on it, it's actually not okay. Like, the minute you actually get that feeling squared, it's impossible to be cheated on. Cheating doesn't exist. And oh my God, what a relief that has been. So I just, you know, I hope that's useful and helpful for people who were struggling with the same things I did, because I was to the point where even movies where there was any sort of infidelity, any sort of cheating, like, it would trigger me. And this is actually part of, I know in one episode we talked about Love Actually and how, you know, like, there was one that really used to trigger, you know, the first time I saw it, super triggered the cheating on thing. And then, you know, later I've seen it since and I've gone, wow, I don't even relate to it anymore because it doesn't it doesn't exist. So that's sort of
what it doesn't make sense.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense anymore. So it was really a mindset change, and it's just for my own personal growth. That's more important than anything. It was a huge relief for me.
Well, it sounds like you've made a lot of progress there, and you know, Lily and I still struggle with jealousy, mainly around food items.
Oh my god! So especially when he was just in New York and got all the pizza and everything. Oh my god!
Yeah, we're still not through on that whole jealousy thing. You know,
well, we gotta. Mr. Kit and I still have that too. He likes to quote Friends. He likes to say Joey doesn't share food every time I try to sneak something off his plate. He's funny.
God,
only he can do it with the voice too. Which cracks me up.
Oh god.
Anyway.
Well, guys, that's about all the time we have for today. Thanks for listening to the Trisexuals. Remember to rate us on iTunes, tell your kids, tell your wife. I'm Max, the only chameleon that can change to any color on the sexual spectrum.
And I'm Lily, the fastest chameleon tongue in the West.
Forget bi-curious. I'm kid-curious.